glad he prayed for me. I need that. I need all the prayer I can get up here. So today we're going to be talking about John 6, 22 to 27. I don't know if it's up on the board here, but the next... Okay, so first of all, let me set the stage here. So Jesus just got through feeding the 5,000. And again, it says 5,000. That was 5,000 men. That's not including the women and children. And so this is a major thing that just happened here. Obviously, we had Brian talking about last week, Jesus walking on water. Now, all these other people there that were at the feeding of the 5,000, this starts out right here with the crowd. Well, lots of people left. You can imagine back in those times, I mean, people still had to work. People still had jobs that they had to do. They had to provide for their families. They had lots of stuff they had to do. In those times, there was lots of people that were, I mean, very devout. I mean, you got the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They, they follow the book of law. They've learned it. They're very, very knowledgeable when it comes to following Scripture. Now, Jesus is there. He's setting things on end. I mean, he's somebody that showed up here. He's doing miracles. He's preaching to people. He's preaching the word. The things that he is saying, some people obviously are recognizing Jesus for who he is. There's a lot of people that they're not necessarily recognizing for who he is or what he's doing. They just want things from him, or they're jealous, envious. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons why there's people out there following him around, but I'd like to think that I would be one of the people that was out there because Jesus is who he says he is. So back to the scripture here. It says the next day the crowd had stayed on the opposite side of the lake shore. Only one boat had been there, and Jesus had not, next scripture, entered into the boat with his disciples, but they had gone away alone. Then some of the boats from Tiberias landed in the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boat and they went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. Okay, so the whole 5,000 people, all these people are not all standing there. I mean, like I said, a bunch of people done went home, a bunch of people. There is some people there, and I imagine some people are there. The people that are left there are people that probably didn't have a job to go to, probably didn't have something other than whatever Jesus had to offer. I'm not saying they knew exactly what Jesus was offering, but they do know one thing. They know that Jesus just fed every one of them until they were full, and there was like 12 baskets full of food left over. And I don't know about you guys, but if in those times when they're having to work for food, I mean, it's not the same. They can't just go to the grocery store, pick up some stuff, and, it's not a problem. I mean, eating and providing for your family, that was a task that you had to do every single day. So the next thing that Jesus says up here is, next slide here. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Next one. Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." Now there was, so basically he's saying, check it out, I fed you, so you guys showed up. I mean, that's it. Hey guys, you guys are hungry and I fed you, you guys showed up. That's why you're looking for me right now. It's not because I am who I say I am. It's not because of the sermon that I just preached you. It's not because I'm telling you the way to life and salvation. The reason you're following me is because you're hungry. So that kind of, as I'm reading over the scripture and super worried about what I'm going to talk to you guys about, I'm reading over this, praying on it, and I'm thinking to myself, well, how does that apply? Man, I don't know how it applies to you guys, but I can tell you this. This is how it applies to me. I can remember sitting. This has been a few years, granted, but I can remember sitting in a room. I was behind on my bills several months. Actually, it wasn't even my house. It was somebody I was staying with, but neither here nor there. Their bills are super far behind. And what did they do? Well, we started looking through, trying to find churches near me. I know there's some people out there, some churches that are going to pay my rent. I'm so far behind. I got kids. I mean, there's a reason I can find a church that's going to pay my bills. So I would do that, right? We'd get there and we'd go to church, and I might have to dress up. I might have, you know, listen to a sermon or listen to somebody up here. Talk to a pastor, maybe talk to whoever's in charge of the funds, and people would help me out, you know, pay my bills. I mean, let's be honest, I really wasn't trying to follow Jesus. I wasn't trying to have him change my heart. I wasn't here for what Jesus had to offer. I was really here because I needed some help on my own terms. Well, and to be honest, that worked a bunch. I mean, sometimes it'd be the light bill, the 3 month behind, and they're getting ready to shut it off. Sometimes it'd be the gas. Sometimes it'd be the rent. I mean, it didn't matter. But I did show up to church, you know, to get this stuff. And that's where Jesus is coming from right here. There's some other stuff, too, though. Like, I can think about, I really need to show up to church because, I don't know, I really need a girl that's a Christian, and she'll probably fix my life because what I'm doing is not working, so I'm going to show up for that, and vice versa. The reality is there's all kinds of reasons why you show up to church. I mean, you show up to church, and most of the time, it's selfish and self-centered ways. I mean, granted, there are some people out there that show up to church because they believe in Jesus. They were taught Jesus is who he says he is. There's people out here that show up just for the simple fact that they're following the direction of Jesus. They want to help people. They want to live lives that show that they're followers of Christ. They want to help the people that need help. There is those people, but there's a whole bunch of people that show up here just like me, needing some stuff. I'm showing up not necessarily because I want to follow Jesus, because I need something from you guys. And guess what? That's not a bad spot to be in. Like, at least you're here. As a body of Christ, we believe wholeheartedly that if you show up here, if we can get you into this room, we can get you close to people that are following Jesus, that Jesus has a chance to work in your life. Jesus has a chance to change. Like, I don't care why you showed up here. I don't care what your selfish, self-centered reasons were. I don't care that you didn't know you were doing it out of selfishness. The reality is, you showed up here. And sometimes, you know, sometimes it takes the feeding people. Sometimes it takes the paying the rent. Sometimes people, I know people that got paid to show up to church. Believe it or not, I mean, hey, I don't care. You get paid. At least you showed up. Then we leave it in God's hands to change your heart. We leave it in God's hands to change exactly why you're here. And he will. I mean, it doesn't happen overnight. It's not like all of a sudden, now I'm a follower of Jesus because I showed up and I understand everything. That's not how it happens. God works on our hearts slowly. He puts his finger on things and you have to make a conscious decision to follow him and change. Back to the scripture. So I'm trying to go off this right here, but okay. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him God the Father has placed a seal of approval. Will you back up to that last slide, please? Do not work for the food that spoils. What are we supposed to be working for? Well, God tells us, he says, we need to build up treasures in heaven. Like, I mean, and I don't know about anybody else, but I struggle with the whole heaven thing. Not that I don't believe, because I believe wholeheartedly that in Jesus Christ, and that there is a heaven, and that there is an afterlife, and that, you know, I'm going to spend an afterlife with him. But the reality is, I got a lot of stuff going on here on earth. And I need help right here, right now. And I'm asking Jesus to help me out with that stuff. And you know what? He has. He consistently does that. I'd like to think part of it is because I'm trying to build up these treasures. I'm reading the scripture, which is a good note. Like, I show up to, you know, Wednesday night groups. I get into with some fellow believers, some people that have been following Jesus longer than me. I'm taking direction. Do I do it perfectly? Absolutely not. And I don't know that there's a man, woman, or child in here that does. But what I do know is that if we're supposed to be focusing on this eternal life, my brain doesn't fathom what eternal life is. I mean, I just can't wrap my mind around it. I know that it tells me to build up treasures in heaven, and it tells me how to do that. But I don't know how to do that unless I read the Bible. I don't know that. And even after I read the Bible, I'm not even sure exactly what it says. Like, I need some people to give me some direction. Like, okay, so, you know, I'm almost 40 years old, and I just started reading the Bible, you know, about 5-6 years ago. So now I don't got to figure it out. I need some people that have been doing this their entire lives, that have actually, that know what they're talking about, and give me some guidance and direction. That's what this is about. That's why if you show up here and you hear these things like that, you can get some direction on that, and it'll change your life. It allows you to get rid of some stuff out of yourself inside and start doing things that give you a relationship with Christ. And that's what Christ is looking for. He's looking to give you an eternal life. But to do that, he says, follow me. You know, follow me means an action. You have got to do some stuff. And we don't know what it is that he's asking us to do until we read his word. We have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide us and direct us. But guess what? I got so many voices going on in my head that I'm hoping that the one I'm listening to is, you know, the Holy Spirit and Jesus. And I've met some people out here that, you know, are in the same exact boat as me. Like, hey, look. So this is where I'm at. When it's talking about these treasures, so you're wondering what it is that you're supposed to be doing. In Galatians, it talks about, like, Galatians 5, the second part of verse 6, it says, what is important is faith expressing itself in love. Galatians 5:13, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your own sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. What are these people supposed to be understanding? They're supposed to be understanding that we're supposed to be serving each other. We're supposed to be serving each other in love and faithfulness. Just a second ago, you just heard they're talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And I'm going to tell you right now, a couple weeks ago, you heard Mark Wentworth up here talking about how he, on a yearly, every year, he picks out one of the fruits of the Spirit and he tries to apply it to his life. Man, that's something that I'm like, wow, that's something I want to try to do. But as we're looking at this right here, the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Guess what? If you pick one of these things, you don't got to do it all year. Try a week. I mean, self-control alone in a week, like, how many times do you snap out because somebody, you know, said something wrong, your pride, your ego, your anything? I mean, these things that we're supposed to understand, he gives us guidance in them, right? And the things that are supposed to produce, the main things that he's talking about is love. He wants a change in your heart. It's not supposed to be selfish, self-centered motives, which is, by all rights, the way we live our lives. And I can only speak for me. When I say we, I mean me. So, and that's my issue with, you know, I don't have a problem building up treasures in heaven, but my focusing on heaven is very hard for me to do because there is so much stuff going on right now, and there is so many things that's easily distracting me. There's countless things and reasons why I can tell you why I'm not doing the right thing or this or that, or why I don't have time to follow Jesus, or I don't have time to, you know, help this person that's, you know, sick or needs help. I mean, there's prison ministries, there's people that, I mean, I spent so many years of my life locked up. When's the last time I ever stepped outside of myself to go out there and had a heart to go out there and preach the gospel to them, or show them that there's a better way? I mean, there's countless other resources here, even in this church, where people actually take time out of their busy lives to go out there and reach out and grab a hold of somebody else, to heal the blind, to pick up the lame. I mean, I was as lame a duck as you could ever see. I'm down here broke. They talk about this guy laying on a mat. You know, I could not get right. My life, And to be honest, I'm not sure if my life would have, if I'd have been able to, I believe in Jesus Christ with all my heart. And he has changed my life tremendously. And you guys have heard my kids' testimonies and you see my family around here. And he did do that for me. But there is countless other people that are Christians that follow Jesus Christ that is not what happens to them. They do not, they don't have a great life. They don't have, get the house and everybody gets back together. Does it make them any less of a Christian? No. I'm not out here preaching to the guys that Jesus changed all their lives and made them all happy. I mean, is that what we're looking for to happen? Yes. But that's because I'm focusing on the here and now. You know, in this scripture, what we're talking about here, Jesus is telling us, he's telling us that God gave him the authority here on earth. He said he gave him, we got to focus on the things that, so Jesus is going to give us eternal life in heaven. God gave Jesus that authority. Through him, we can have salvation, through his mercy and grace. But we have to believe in him first. We have to believe in him and we have to follow him. And that doesn't necessarily mean that it's all going to be, you know, super nice here on earth and we're all going to get exactly what we want. Sometimes it's super uncomfortable. Sometimes you're standing up here on stage sweating like crazy, wondering what... But sometimes it's pulling over on the side of the road and helping somebody change their tire. Sometimes it's seeing somebody, talking to somebody that's and loving on somebody that's super hard to love. Sometimes it's, you know, being there when it's super hard, taking time out of you're going to be late. But you take the time out to be the ear that needs to hear some stuff, be the shoulder that somebody needs to cry on, be the helping hand. Sometimes you need to stop focusing on what you don't have and focus on what you do have so that you could help somebody else. And I skipped over so much stuff that I had written down here. I'm just being honest. But what I do want to say is this. So as we're reading through the scripture, I mean, the main thing that I want to get across here is people were missing the point, right? Jesus may have called this guy out and said, or there was multiple people there because they met up with him on the other side. And they said, well, guess what? You know, you're not here because you know that you knew the signs and you know who I am, but you're here because I fed you. He may have busted him out like that. And it probably was pretty hard to take. It would have been hard for me to take too. But sometimes it is hard to take. It is hard to take, but he showed up. They showed up and they were there. Jesus didn't turn them away. You know, he didn't tell them, kick rocks, go the other way. He just let them know that they were focusing on the wrong stuff. So as a Christian and as a body of Christ here at this church, I encourage you not to take offense if somebody calls you out on something or tries to give you some direction. And I am going to encourage you guys, like I said, if you could just do for even a week to pick one of the fruits of the spirits and just try to apply it to your life. I mean, to just see how difficult it is. And then, or maybe God will be able to show you an area in your life that he's really wanting to raise you up in. So that's what I got today. All right, I'm going to quickly pray us out. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, and I pray that as we leave here today, Lord, that there was something that you put on my, that you gave me to say, Lord, that was, you know, falls on, you know, ears that are able to hear, Lord, and they're able to apply it to their lives, Lord. And I pray that you just, as people leave here, they're able to apply your words and whatever it is that you're trying to get across to them in their heart, Lord. And pray everybody has a great week. Amen.